producing over 500 hours per week of talk radio. GCN Live is a world leader in talk radio. Archives for the following program can be found at GCNLive.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Before we go on with this, why are people looking for the simple explanation for this? And you don't think of maybe a UFO abduction as simple. But there are a lot of people who take it just as it seems. E.T.'s coming here, E.T.'s landing, E.T. is taking us aboard to experiment with us, create a hybrid race. Is that just us taking the incomprehensible and making it a tad more comprehensible?
In my sense is that, you know, the a little bit is happening at both ends. I mean, are the UFO occupants co-opting their own appearance to match our need for like a technological outsider? I mean, if we turn the clock back a few thousand years and we were hanging out in, you know, in at the base of Mount Olympus, you know, and people were telling stories about the Greek gods. I mean, they'd all the gods wore togas and they were, they were seen in a light that the people of that time could comprehend. Now we live in a technological age and we're seeing, you know, metal spaceships with little spindly versions of ourselves.
And besides, people wouldn't like us wearing togas. They think we were crazy.
Especially if it's cold out, yeah.
Sure.
Or in a, you know, reboot of Animal House.
Yeah, well, yeah, but I mean, in Star Trek, this seems like all the aliens somehow wore these flowy toga things and stuff, so.
Well, it's Valet 101, I guess the phenomenon tends to couch itself in the vernacular and the technology of the times.
Sure, exactly, yes. Where were reports in the 1950s, people told of, you know, being on board craft and they had, vacuum tubes and such. And now there's like this almost virtual reality being described on the interior of these craft, you know, a virtual holodeck in some of the reports.
Well, excuse me for interrupting, but I just had a flash here. Perhaps in the not too distant future, kids playing, Tom Clancy Black Ops or video games, all of a sudden there'll be a new player that comes into the virtual reality and then springs out of their TV set and interacts with them. That seems to be a logical next step.
Well, I think we're almost there with these folks with 3D glasses and, you know, the stereo sound effects and, yeah, so as far as the video game world.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Well, where was I? I was talking about Dr. Kirby Surprise.
Exactly.
Okay, so Dr. Kirby Surprise, there's a chapter in the book about his research. So I get a hold of him. I say in the initial letter that I sent him, I say, listen, my premise is that folks with UFO contact experiences have more synchronicity than the Joe Normal. And he gets back to me and says, well, you know, I don't really see it that way. You know, I've had my own UFO experiences and it's not really like that. I'm paraphrasing poorly right now as far as the letter. I could read it right from the book here. So here's the author of a book called Synchronicity who says he's had UFO experiences. Then I'm like, I got to get a hold of this guy. So I get a hold of him. We have a couple short conversations and he says, listen, just read my book and then we'll talk. So I got his book. I read it and I something like on page 243. He describes where you can create your own synchronicities. It's just a little point of intention. You go through a little process and just ask the universe for a synchronicity and they'll be generated. So the example he uses in his book, he says, what I like to do for my synchronicities, I like to create owls. So he likes to create owl synchronicity. I almost dropped the book when I read that. So here's a guy who says he's had UFO experiences, writes a book about synchronicities, and on page 243 he says he likes to create owls. So at that point I'm like, did I manifest Kirby Surprise, you know, to like meet my own needs in this? In the book I talk about transcribed a phone conversation, so I have it word for word in some of the things, where he talks about his own UFO experiences, which took place at a point when he was meditating a lot and was seeking counsel in a way from an outside source and getting this input I want to be very careful. This is his experience, not mine. So, and that what was manifesting was seeing like odd craft at night in the nighttime sky. Now he feels that what he was experienced was self-generated, that he was at a point of such intense focus with his meditation as a young man, that it manifested in a way where the dialogue between him and the synchronistic world was manifesting as UFOs. So he tells it much better than I do, and I will let the reader, sort of examine that chapter. But there's this overlap of these elements. And he talks about – he had some beautiful quotes about owls, and a very smart guy, much more – when we talked, I felt like I was the student – visiting the shaman in a way. He's quite a mystical fellow, and he had a take on it that no one else has. Whether he's correct, I don't know, but it was so fruitful for me to hear his take on this stuff, because in a way, he confirmed exactly what had been happening with me. He said, listen, if you start really digging into UFOs and owls with great intention, these stories are going to land in your lap. And that's exactly what has been happening, where on some level, I didn't do research on this book. All I did in a way was just get up in the morning and open my email inbox, and then I'd get a UFO and owl story. Someone would say, listen, letter would start out something like this. I've never told this to anyone. Here's the story. And then I would get a hold of that person. We'd have some conversations. I'd write a little essay. I'd do a little back and forth and have them approve the essay. Like, they got to play fact checker. Anyone who's, who I talk about in this book, for the most part, got to read their own account and then correct it, which I was grateful for, because there's little details that I got incorrectly. And through the back and forth process, I feel like I captured most of these stories extremely close to how they played out. So that makes me feel good as an author. But what was happening, as I said before, is these stories were just landing in my lap. I wasn't doing any research. I wasn't, I didn't roll my sleeves up and go to a library like, might have happened in, All the President's Men. I just, drank coffee and opened my, email inbox every morning. And this stuff just was flooding in. So in a way, Dr. Surprise was correct. If I focus on this stuff with an profound amount of intention, I will get results. Synchronicity will allow these things to manifest in my life.
Now, the people who contacted you during this process, did they say why they contacted you? Was it because they heard of your book or what?
Well, either they found me online. They would say things like, I did a Google thing, or I found you online, or I talked to someone else and said, you have an owl and UFO experience. You got to get a hold of this guy, Mike Cleland. So it was because of my online presence. There's a YouTube video out there that was done a couple summers ago where I spoke on this owl research in England. And that YouTube video is an hour and 45 minutes long. So it's me standing on stage talking about some stuff. And within that video, let me just, as an aside, I talk at length about the map thing that started with the owls in Missouri that Chris brought up earlier. And that's a very visual thing. So it's hard to talk about on the radio, but easy when you can stand on a stage with a PowerPoint.
Some of those photographs are amazing.
There's a short little video that I play, this little video clip of this guy. I got a hold of the guy who actually took the photographs. It took a little work to track him down. So I did actually play a little bit of research detective in this work. But I got a hold of this guy, and he showed me the video that he had taken. So it's just amazing. Yes, a beautiful set of short-eared owls on a fence post on a calm afternoon in snowy Missouri. Oh, anyway, where was I going with this? So that video, that YouTube video of me giving the talk, about an hour and 45 minutes long, that generated so much stuff, people getting a hold of me, literally people saying, as I was watching the video, an owl landed on my windowsill outside my, my window. As I was watching the video, it's never happened before, never seen an owl at the house before. And here's an owl out my window as I'm watching this video. That story in one form or another repeated over and over again. And I write, there's a big long chapter that could have been endless, that chapter, but I had to rein it in. And I think it's called The Echo Chamber, where I talk about the, owls showing up in conjunction with either people reading my blog, reading an online essay, or this YouTube video. And I suspect, I don't know for sure, but I suspect now that the book is out, there's going to be like another wave of these reports coming in where people will say, as I was reading your book, I had this interesting owl experience. I don't know if that's going to happen or not, but I wouldn't surprise me at this point.
So maybe there'll be a book two. We've got Mike Clellan joining us with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Neighbors, are you tired of dealing with a slow web hosting provider? Well, check out A2 Hosting and their screaming fast Swift server platform. They even have SSDs that load pages 300% faster than the competition. Ready to give your site a speed boost? Well, tell you what, neighbors, head on over to a2hosting.com. That's A2, that's number two, a2hosting.com. Check out their Prime hosting account. And get this, neighbors, they're even giving you an exclusive 25% off discount for all our listeners. 25%. And remember, their Guru Crew support team is standing by 24/7, 365 days a year to answer any of your questions. Now, to get the discount, use the coupon code GENE when you check out.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy. And get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
Removing bad taste and odor from your drinking water is easy. Removing the bad stuff you don't taste is what ProPure does best. Water the way nature meant it to be. Clean, crisp, and refreshing. See the complete line of ProPure countertop, inline gravity, and household water filtration products. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com. Or call 800-544-3533.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
A lot of people's lives and bodies are out of balance. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops optimize pH level and get rid of harmful waste and acid. Just a few drops in water restores vibrance and energy and gets you back in balance. Now order two bottles and get $10 off your order. Sign up for monthly auto shipping and save 25%. Call 800-518-7615 or visit alkavision.com. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at alkavision.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
So having done this book, and obviously the process took a while, have you now accumulated information that says, you know what, we need to explore this further, maybe have a sequel?
That's interesting. You should ask. And there will be a companion book. Right now, the book is called Stories from the Messengers, and it's right on the, I even got a little mock-up of the cover, and it says Companion to the Messengers. What happened in, while researching this book, is I stumbled on, not stumbled on, it was like just what I described earlier. These synchronistic stories would land in my lap, and I got these amazing accounts that are so complex. It takes to write them up as an essay, right? To write them up properly as an essay is 20 pages, right? And, you know, multiple people, multiple events, multiple, you know, timelines, people seeing owls here, people seeing owls there. You pull on the threads. It leads to some other weird synchronicity, psychic experiences. These are, there's a, in the book, I use the term paradox syndrome. It's kind of a, to describe these more complex, multi-layered stories. There's a paradox, right? So you're confronted with something and the conclusion seems irrational, right? The stories don't make any sense. And because they're so multi-layered and so rife with synchronicities, and if you, it's logically, you kind of want to dismiss these accounts, but on an intuitive level, this chaos almost of some of these accounts tends to, for me anyway, is a form of confirmation, right? These stories are so convoluted, they're so mixed up, there's so much stuff going on, you pull on any thread, it leads to another weird thing. To me, that is a form of confirmation that this account is genuine. Whatever it might tie back to, what the source, what the core source of these experiences are, either anyone's guess. But what I can say is that there is, you know, an odd set of experiences. So these are the stories that will be featured in a book, and this will be a short book, you know, 100 pages or so, and it will be released hopefully sometime early next year. The problem was I simply, the book is nearly 400 pages long. There was no way I could just kind of say, oh, here's another 20-page story, you know, like in the middle of a chapter, it would ruin the flow of the chapter. So I was originally going to have an appendix in the book, and I decided not to do that. So along the way, it was just realized, like, oh, gosh, there's this stuff. I'm just going to push this stuff to the side, and it'll be in a second book.
Well, it's interesting. You're talking about stories and accounts that are synchronistically and otherwise being fed to you, you know, in an echo chamber, sort of almost paradoxical fashion. And Ravensfee has an interesting observation, and she writes, the majority of the reports you've compiled seem to be from Anglo countries, North America, Australia, the UK, and have occurred in the last 35 years. To what extent are these owl reports the result of a specific cultural or historic period, if you can answer that? And then, secondly, do we see similar reports from non-white witnesses, and do we see reports from India, China, and, you know, other, the Southeast, Asia, let's say, where the owl has a different cultural connotation?
Well, I think that was, you know, like it was my own subjectiveness, you know, in the way I did the research, right? So I have a blog in English, and so people are going to get a hold of me, you know, English-speaking people are going to get a hold of me. So the way I did the research was just, you know, online, allowing these things to come to me. So I just suspect, this is completely intuitive on my point, that these stories also exist in, you know, non-English speaking countries. And, you know, we're, I mean, whatever, I was sort of seeing this through the lens of, you know, whitey, as, because that's kind of where I was coming from. But, you know, there's a couple accounts. There's an account in the book from, a woman from Brazil that exactly matches the tone of the stories. And she spoke very good English. I cleaned her dialogue up just slightly in the book. So my sense is that yes, these stories would be paralleled throughout the lore. The Native American stories would seem to have a darker cast to them. Stories from, let's say, I got some stories from Sweden that are, actually there's some interesting stuff, you know, where there's a lighter, let's say, lore to them. It's hard to say because there's not a pattern here. It's just like one, and, you know, it's hard to say with, if you don't, I don't have a rich enough pool of data to see a big pattern there. So I'm going to be cautious how I answer this. But yes, my sense is that this stuff is out there. I don't have any proof, though.
Now, with all these cultural influences and the fact that these experiences change over time depending on our expectations, is there a way at all to find the source, the core experience? Because we're moving past the literal interpretation, way beyond that.
Well, I mean, in one sense, you can die and then have, like, you know, one of the questions you ask when you go into the white light is, like, you know, what is going on with all this stuff? And when you're in some other realm, you might be able to, you know, receive the answer. Quite honestly, I think that, like, I mean, my God, how many UFO books have been written in the last 70 years and how, you know, how divergent are the conclusions? You know? So I don't know what the source is going to be. So like, I'd be foolish to say what I think the source might be. What I can say is there's a couple avenues of thought that were very productive. One of his archetypes, you know, like owls as archetype, an archetypal symbol. So not an owl as a bird with big eyes, but the symbol of the owl. And this is, you know, I mean, whatever, some philosophy students at a university could, you know, spend many a late night trying to figure out what that symbol might mean. But I can say that there is a symbol. An owl can be seen symbolically. I can only sort of tap at the edges of what that might truly imply. So,
well, I think it's interesting that owls are asking who instead of why or what.
Only in North America, yeah. So they don't say that in other places. There's very few of this. Only in really North American owls have the classic low hooting noise. Most owls make, you know, kind of squawky noises or beeping noises. Yeah. So there's only a few owls that will actually ask who. That would be the barred owl, the great gray, and the great horned.
Well, William Stratham asks an interesting question, and he says at the end of your book, you write, "When I sleep outside, I will very often make a plea to the universe. I will state out loud that I am open and receptive to whatever you have to offer. Asking the universe is a little less churchy than saying God, but it's essentially the same thing, that you're asking for a message. What kind of response do you anticipate? I mean, obviously the synchronicity element we've talked to, but are you asking for encounters with owls, coyotes, aliens? In your estimation, would it be possible for a being worthy of the title of God to respond directly to you by articulate English, even if internally? And in light of your acceptance of the divine, do you think there is also an actual satanic, demonic aspect of reality dangerous to humans that one must avoid? In other words, if you believe in one end of the spectrum, the positive end, then, you know, maybe there's a counterweight to that.
We will have his answer in the next segment. I was just thinking when you were talking there of watching childhood's end, the TV miniseries based on the Arthur C. Clarke novel, where we deal with higher beings being the overlords who are red demons with tails.
Forked tails, actually, spaded tails.
Certainly. I don't know, kind of a depressing ending that the human, you know, I don't want to do a spoiler here. I'd say if you can access on demand for Sci-Fi Channel, you should watch it. It's not quite the same as the book, okay, but still nonetheless interesting. We have Mike Cleland, who's going to answer the question posed by one of our listeners with Gene and Chris here in
the Paracast. Wishing you the brightest of Christmas seasons and best wishes for the new year from the Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
We use mobile devices right against our bodies every day, but growing scientific evidence has emerged showing serious health risks associated with exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The solution is Defender Shield, the most effective mobile radiation shielding ever developed. Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation from cell phones, tablets, and laptops, and starts at just $64.99. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. For 10% off, use promo code GCN. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in mobile radiation shielding.
Hi, I'm Dr. Sam Nussbaum with the Anthem Foundation. Premature birth is the leading cause of death of babies and disabilities for children. That's why we support the March of Dimes to help mothers have full-term pregnancies and healthy babies. Join us in supporting cutting-edge research, treatment and outreach to help moms during their pregnancy and give every baby a healthy start in life. Learn how you can help at marchofdimes.org.
Did you know that home break-ins increase more than 100% during the holidays? It takes just 10 seconds for an intruder to kick in your door. But police response to a home alarm system is more than 20 minutes. And intruders are in and out of your home in 5 minutes. Thieves know that you're not home and have presents inside just waiting to be taken. And if you are home, how safe will you feel with an intruder lurking inside with your family? That's why police across the country are recommending you use Door Armor. Proven to withstand withstand the force of a battering ram. Door Armor keeps intruders out. It's easy to install and barely visible, and your Door Armor is guaranteed for life. Go to InvasionStopper.com for a very special buy one, get one at half-off deal. These savings are for a limited time and only available to GCN listeners. Protect your valuables and loved ones this holiday season. Go to InvasionStopper.com now. That's InvasionStopper.com.
Removing bad taste and odor from your drinking water is easy. Removing the bad stuff you don't taste is what ProPure does best. Water the way nature meant it to be. Clean, crisp, and refreshing. See the complete line of ProPure countertop, inline gravity, and household water filtration products. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com. Or call 800-544-3533.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Owe $10,000 or more to the IRS?
Get on board with the Tax Admiral! Don't pick on the IRS alone! I'll cut penalties and reduce your overall tax bill sometimes! I can even get it zeroed out completely!
We're an A-rated company helping people clean up their mess with the IRS.
If you owe $10,000 or more, then call the Tax Admiral!
Call 800-287-7180. Again, that's 800-287-7180. 800-287-7180.
Hi, it's Grant Cameron from PresidentialUFO.com. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
So I've been giving Mike Clemon a little time to digest the question from one of our listeners at forum.theparacast.com in the question bank. Mike?
Well, I mean, the question is, I mean, it was kind of a multi-layered question, and just might want to reread the question now. If I stray too far, I often do that. You know, I sort of answer what I want to answer rather than the question itself sometimes.
Well, that makes you a politician. Don't worry about
it. I shouldn't have said that. Yeah. So, but you know, so you make a plea to the universe, you know, like I kind of go right up to the line and say, you know, calling it God and then back off. And, you know, that's, but you see, you make a plea to the universe. And oftentimes I will get these answers, and the answers will come very symbolically. And that's what I have been documenting in the blog. You know, I mean, what's the, how to say this? Like, so if I answer, you know, if I ask the question, you know, like, what's the meaning of the universe? You know, and then, you know, God steps out of a cloud and explains it very succinctly to me and then steps back into the cloud. I mean, kind of what's the fun in that? You know, I mean, wouldn't it be better to, I mean, like an example is I would sleep out in the mountains and, have a, you know, make that plea as I was going to bed, get up the next morning, and a nothing, no dreams, no nothing, nothing happening during the night. But on the walk out, I would have amazingly beautiful sighting. This is one example of a pine marten, which is a beautiful, bright, sunny day, pine marten out in the middle of a meadow, close to me, walking along with me for a little bit, amazing sighting of a pine marten. So what is the symbology of that animal? So then that would lead me, which is a very rare sighting. I mean, not many people, I mean, it's, you know, it's not unusual to see them, but the sighting I had in this particular instance was up close. And then the, you know, what's the symbology of the weasel, of the pine marten, you know, in Native American lore and mythology and stuff like that. So that it led me, it forced me to look inward in a way that I wouldn't have. And there were some clues there, you know, it represents the vitality of a life. And so that was a, you know, that was perhaps the message I needed at that moment.
So you get what you seek. Is that like the mirror effect that John Keel talks about?
You look into the abyss and the abyss looks back. Yeah. You know, and whether it's demonic is, I mean, this is where.
Well, that's all subjective. It's all, you know, subject to your cultural biases and, you know, the environment that you were raised in. And of course, one man's demon is another man's, you know, dark lord or whatever. So everything's relative, obviously.
Exactly. And the, you know, I've certainly heard people, sat with people, and they've told me extremely dark, frightening stories. I've also heard people tell, like, beautiful, blissful, transcendent stories. And I trust both these people are telling their real experiences. So what am I to make of this? You know, I mean, this phenomenon, whether it's a UFO thing or however, you know, whatever grand umbrella term you want to use, can manifest in these extremely divergent ways, and it doesn't make one person right and one person wrong. So, but yeah,
it's like a careful what you wish for scenario, subconsciously, you know, fully consciously or unconsciously.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Just, you know, have your intention and your focus, kind of tuned into where you actually want to go, and don't shoot yourself in the foot.
Well, I mean, in the production of this book, I would get just the perfect story at just the perfect moment, and I'm sure other authors have had that kind of experience. But this is the first time I've ever tackled anything, a project this grand, and I was just shocked at how, you know, right when I needed a certain, you know, like I was kind of stuck or, you know, there's some blank spot in the overall, you know, outline, you know, the perfect story would arrive that would drop in.
I love when that happens.
Isn't it amazing? Yeah.
I love it. And it does happen too.
Yeah.
Well, Mike, ShadowGov, who's, you know, been a poster since 2009, and he's only actually posted 19 messages at the forum at forum.theparacast.com. So you're bringing them out of the woodwork, which is a good thing. That's kind of a kudos for you. And he says, from listening to your podcast, I always get the impression that you leaned more towards the, quote, love and light, unquote, interpretation of the phenomenon. And he thinks your views are actually more nuanced than that. But he says, I always felt that this was his bias. However, on several podcast episodes, he talked about Dr. Carla Turner, which is a much darker view of abduction. So I always sensed that there was a tension between opposing views throughout your shows. And, he says, I was wondering where you stand now. Do you think that there's any, you know, my question is, do you think there's a leaning one way or another, or it is all totally subjective in the sense or the eye of the beholder or the experiencer?
Well, I can tell you, I want it to be all love and light. You know what I mean? Wouldn't that be nice? You know, I mean, that's a very much a want. You know, there's nothing I would love more than to realize or to have some answer that the source of all this is from this benevolent angelic presence that's leading us forward. There are certainly stories that match that closely. You know, that would paint that picture, but that's not universal. So, you know, the scales are constantly tipping. I feel like I've got this kind of empathic side to me where I'm empathetic and when someone tells me a story, I just get wrapped up in it. You know, like I feel it, I sense it, I listen to their words, I just get sort of drawn into it. And so for instance, you go to a UFO conference, you know, you talk to one, you know, lady with her flowy linen dress and her turquoise beads and stuff like that at one table, and you hear her account and it's just angelic and beautiful. And and I listen as closely as I can and try to hear exactly what she's saying. And then you walk across the aisle and you talk to someone else, you know, some former military guy with a, you know, with a mustache and a bunch of documents on his desk, and you hear a completely different account. And the same thing happens to me. I get drawn in. I get swept away by the story, you know, and in a way, somewhere early in the book, I say I'm a disciple of the story. And what I tried to do in this book was, which I didn't, sometimes I succeeded, sometimes I didn't, was I let the story speak for itself, right? So you have a, you know, the shaman sitting around the campfire, you know, would tell the story to the villagers, right? And they would all listen attentively, and the story would probably be told in symbolic form. And then at the end, I don't know if it's the role of the shaman to say, well, you know, here's the meaning of the story. Here's what it really means. Here's all the underlying stuff. Here, let's examine the story. I think the story itself has a power, and then sometimes you can over-examine it and get lost. And I feel like I probably did that to a degree in the book, where I over-examined this. And I mean, you can almost sense that this book is me being lost in that attempt to make sense of these kind of accounts.
That's a very honest assessment of your work. Most authors would like to think that they are in complete control and are totally on top of their work. And it's good to hear that there's, you know, some areas where you're really not sure. And you know, you are a very good analyzer of data, and you allow your mind to go in different directions, and then you pick up the relevant bits. And in I've always, you know, felt that about you, and it is almost to a fault. But you know, here's another question from ShadowGov, and you know, he says it's a bit off topic, but he understands that you're active in the ultralight backpack community and you're an avid outdoorsman, and as such, he's wondering if you would care to address the following questions. Have you ever looked into David Paolides' work, the Missing 411 Project? And do you think they could be possibly alien abductions? And have you ever heard of a similar experiences up in Idaho and some of the more remote areas that you've lived? And he'd also like to get your opinion on Bigfoot.
Okay, so I am familiar with David Paolides. I actually had a little back and forth correspondence with him where I sent him an account that's a little bit long, and that will be in the companion book, Stories from the Messengers, one of these crazy mixed up things, because it had the flavor of what he was saying. There were these little elements in his stories. This was involved a woman who was hiking with her boyfriend. She was with him and she just got a little bit behind him on the trail. And then suddenly she said, well, I'm going to walk over here and sit down.
That always begins the next part of the story. Let's do it in our next segment, our final segment. It's Gone So Fast. Mike Clellan with Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
If you're like me, you're concerned about the stock market and the economy. You're asking the questions, but it just doesn't seem that you're getting the right answers. Well, my friends at the Wealth Preservation Institute not only have the answers, but they put together a free report, How to Survive the Upcoming Economic Collapse and Protect Your 401ks, IRA Savings, and Retirement Income. Don't hesitate. This report's for free for a limited time by calling 888-772-2929. That's 888-772-2929. Take back your financial lives today.
If survivalist housing has been in your plans, get ready. We're bringing our Timberline Range Camps to you February 6th through 14th at the Great American Outdoor Show in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Get an up-close look at some of our most popular Timberline models or visit survivalistcamps.com to pre-order a camp. We'll bring it to the show and save you the cost of shipping. It's a perfect time to get that camp you've wanted. Go to survivalistcamps.com, then plan on joining us at the Great American Outdoor Show in February in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP. As slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
Hey, Berkey Guy here. Are you still drinking unfiltered tap water? Does your water contain chlorine or fluoride? Will you have drinkable water in an emergency? The Berkey Guy is here to help you remove these and other potential contaminants from your water, thus helping you drink clean, purified water. We offer Berkey water purification systems at the lowest available prices online. Don't go another moment without Berkey system. Over the last 10 years, we've helped thousands drink clean, purified water. Join them by visiting GoBerkey.com or call me, the Berkey Guy, at 877-886-3653. That's 877-886-3653.
This is Micah Hanks of the Gray Alien Report, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Okay, Mike Clellan telling the story, which is going to be part of the companion book for The Messengers. All right, so she sits down for a moment.
And then she hears owls hooting, and she takes her shoes off. Which is something that shows up in David Pilates' thing. And then she sees UFOs, but she describes them not as metallic craft. These are kind of trans-dimensional orbs that kind of pass above her, and things get very trippy. And I literally said, like, wait a minute, are you going to take any mushrooms or LSD or anything? So, like, nope, that's the story she tells. And so she's gone for a number of hours, which seems like just a number of minutes to her. Her boyfriend finally finds her. The sun is down at this point. And he says, where have you been? She says, I've been right here. I said, no, you haven't. I've searched right here. And then there's all of these odd synchronicities that are associated with this story. Gets very complicated. This one is so tough to almost wrap my mind around, because her explanation of it is so ethereal and trippy. Now, there's elements that show up in David Pilates' work. So I sent him this little essay, and we exchanged a few things. And to his credit, he was basically like, listen, I don't know who you are. I'm going to be very careful. I don't want to say anything, because if I get quoted out of context, it just doesn't. I think he had bad luck with that. So I was like, fair enough. He also, David Pilates, does Bigfoot research. So he's put me in touch with a Bigfoot researcher. And I feel like, the Bigfoot researcher, I'm drawing a complete blank on his name right now, implied that there was an owl connection. You know, Bigfoot researchers will often have odd owl accounts in their stories. Just this very quick one that he shared with me. Someone saw, a Bigfoot and then this area, and then they went into the woods and found this great big giant pile of feces that didn't look like bear feces. It didn't look like, moose feces or anything like that. So, and as they were sort of, bagging it up and examining it, the whole time an owl stood on a branch and watched them doing this, in full daylight. That doesn't prove anything. These are kind of the anecdotal tales that just accompany this stuff. So my sense is, and I actually asked Rosemary Ellen Guiley this, in a way that my sense is that the Bigfoot thing, no one's ever going to capture a Bigfoot. No one's going to shoot one. No one's going to take one to the Smithsonian. It ain't how it works. This is some sort of interdimensional spirit entity that can manifest physically in a way that it can leave footprints. I've talked to enough folks that have done Bigfoot research, and they just tell stories. Oh, we followed these big footprints off into the open meadow in the snow, and right in the middle of the meadow, poof, they've stopped. Nowhere for this thing to go. They don't understand how the footprints could have stopped. So something very unusual is taking place. The question I asked is, there's a kind of divergence in the Bigfoot research community between the nuts and bolts researchers who think this, well, I guess it would be flesh and blood researchers who think this is like a big ape that has somehow eluded scientists forever. And then on the other end, a very small minority.
The Fortean researchers.
The Fortean researchers, the minority who are saying, oh, this is something much more unusual. And I asked Rosemary Ellen Guiley, like, okay, if they had a pie fight at a Bigfoot conference, who would win the pie fight? You know, the flesh and blood researchers or the Fortean ones? And she, in her way, she didn't answer it. She said, well, there are certainly more of the flesh and blood researchers, sort of implying that they would win the pie fight.
Well, maybe they're using larger pies also.
Perhaps, yeah. And pies do have a remarkable similarity to the shape of a UFO, so we can add that in too. So,
My brother, rest his soul, had a Bigfoot experience where there were 5 footprints going across a road and coming to the road and leaving the road. There were none. And one of them was so pristine they could actually see the foot whirls in the print.
Yeah, I don't know what to make of any of this except that people are reporting this. I know a UFO abductee who's doing what I consider very strong Bigfoot research in Utah.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, what to make of that? So.
One thing leads to the other. Now, do you have any hopes here in getting any answers out of this, or is every step of the journey bringing its own questions?
I have no hopes of getting an answer. I enjoy the mystery. You know what I mean? There's kind of a point in the middle of the detective novel, right? You know, where like, you know, the crime hasn't been solved, and there's a reason there's like detective novels are a popular genre like this. It's like, well, this is really engaging. This is exciting. This is fun. At the end of the book, oftentimes it's a kind of a letdown, you know, like, oh, that person did it. Okay. But the joy of the detective novel is somewhere in the middle. And in a funny way, I feel like I'm in the middle of this, you know, in a way, the novel of my life where I'm digging into this stuff. And it has been remarkably fun. So I don't expect an answer. If I proclaimed some answer, someone can find this thing later if I do proclaim an answer and then call me out on it. I would caution anyone to not trust the answer I gave. but I mean, I might have some good questions. I mean, like the archetype thing is a really interesting avenue of thought to go down that road and think about, you know, how that implies, you know, how that plays out. And so, yeah, I don't plan on finding an answer. And at the same time,
no agenda to promote or a drum to bang.
Well, an agenda to promote in a drum to bang would be that this stuff is far stranger than we dare suspect. Like what I did is I underwent a journey. I picked the most tiny fractal at the far corner of the UFO phenomena, right? Like, I mean, the owl is the most insignificant part of the overall grand UFO bag of worms, right? I mean, how, you know, like, oftentimes you'll pick up a UFO book and owl gets mentioned once, one page. And I've done a lot of searches of books, so I can say that with authority. It gets mentioned. A little teeny owl. Oh, and then they saw an owl. Oh, and then they just the big thick book, and that's the only mention you get of it. So it's this tiny part of a big phenomenon. But in looking at it, I produced a 400-page book, and I'm just about to publish another one that's going to be, right, you know, over 100 pages. Why? Like, I picked the tiniest, most insignificant part of a great big thing, and stuff just gushed out everywhere. I mean, I was, like, flooded with this stuff. I mean, the stuff I didn't include is just as good as the stuff I did include. And it, you know, the only reason I didn't include it, because I would just be telling the same story over and over and over again. It wouldn't do any good to tell, you know, a chapter that was just repeating the same story. I'm totally enthralled on it, so I have no problem reading and dissecting the same stories over and over again, but it just isn't going to serve the reader any purpose to hear the same story over and over again. But so, you know, I picked the tiniest little insignificant nuanced speck of a great big giant mess of, you know, conflicting ideas. And it was so fruitful. So, I mean, so I don't know what to say. If I have a drum to bang, it's that this stuff is wildly more complex and more nuanced and more playful in many respects than one would dare assume if they only watched late night documentaries with, you know, with scary music and you know, cheesy reenactments.
We've got to stay away from those cheesy reenactments. Okay, Mike Clellan, we're just about out of time. Would you tell our listeners where they can find out more information about the Messengers and your ongoing work?
The book is published by Richard Dolan Press. You can go Google Richard Dolan Press, and it'll come right up, and you can search it out there. You can go to Amazon. You can search it out there. You can go to my blog, which is Hidden Experience, all one word, hiddenexperience.blogspot.com. You could Google my name. The first thing that comes up is if you Google my name and owls, you'll go right to my blog. This book is very much a product of the internet era, as far as the way it was researched and the way it was culminated. And so just a simple Google search, it should come right up. I have a lot of backlogged blog posts. I haven't been attending to the blog in the last couple of years because I've been so swamped with this book project. So as the book project, you know, is now complete, hopefully I'll get a little more back into the, writing some articles in an online forum.
We'll look forward to them. You can find us on Twitter. We're known as The Paracast. Look for The Paracast on Twitter. Send us a tweet if you want. Don't quote Donald Trump, please. Okay? Just asking you to do that. We have two Paracast forums on Facebook. You can go to either one. We don't care. We have the special subscription premium package of the show. You get the higher quality audio, ad-free version of The Paracast, the After The Paracast wrap-up show. You get show transcripts just starting to roll in there for several of our episodes. More will come. It takes time to make those transcripts. We have the first video up real soon now. Chris is working on it as we speak. To learn more about The Paracast Plus, go to plus.theparacast.com. There are low monthly, annual, five-year lifetime subscription rates. The longer-term subscriptions get free ebooks from Chris O'Brien. What else can you ask? Plus.theparacast.com. Oh, this has been a fun-filled episode.
Yeah, thanks, Mike.
Mike Clellan, thanks for joining us on The Paracast.
You're very welcome.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
From our family to yours, have a very Merry Christmas. We are the Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Hi, Peter Beccaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com, ParanormalDate.com, and use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.